Well, welcome, dear ones, to our Wednesday evening midweek church service. And praise God that He has brought us safely through the first part of this week. Welcome to those that are on the phone and to those that will be listening to the recorded service. And it's a wonderful time to be alive. And praise God that He is indeed in control of all things, and there's nothing that we need to worry about or fret over. Because if we've given our hearts into the Lord's hands and we've devoted ourselves to serve Him, then whatever He allows to come our way is for a purpose, to prepare us and to refine us and to purify us so that heaven might be our home for eternity. So again, welcome, dear ones. And without any further delay, we'll go right into our opening song. And the opening song is entitled, Anything That Cost Me Nothing. And the link is lightministries.com/ID1943.htm. So anything that costs me nothing.
God bless you all and all that are on the phones listening. God bless you all this beautiful Wednesday evening. And as our dear brother said, it's definitely a rejoicing to be here. And I definitely praise the Lord for this very wonderful time that we live in right now. I cannot come before my righteous holy Lord and offer to Him worldly things I do not need and hope He's pleased. For He wants me to give a heart that's truly His, an offering of the highest price, a servanthood the Lord can use. I will not offer anything that costs me nothing. I'll place before Him nothing less than my very best. And if I'm called to sacrifice, it will be worthy of my cries. I will not offer anything that costs me nothing. To serve Him is my goal. How could I withhold? Whatever's mine He's given me. It's not my own, it's His alone. Whatever He requires, it is my desire. Whatever He may need from me, I'll pay the cost, gain or loss. I will not offer anything that costs me nothing. I'll place before Him nothing less than my very best. And if I'm called to sacrifice, it will be worthy of thy cries. I will not offer anything that costs me nothing.
Amen. I ask you all to please bow your heads and kneel before our great God as we approach his throne in opening prayer. Precious Father, we thank you so very much for indeed being in control of all things. We thank you so very much for your divine protection and your many and wonderful blessings that have been showered upon us in the first part of this week. And thank you for bringing us together once again to worship you in spirit and in truth on our midweek church service. Father, we give you full and complete control of this meeting, and we pray that thy presence will be in our midst. We pray that the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit will be here as well, that our thoughts can be uplifted, that we can receive the blessing that you long to pour out upon each one of us, that our spiritual eyesight will be sharpened, and that our memories will be retentive, so that we will not forget what is shared with us tonight, but that we will continue to remember it and ponder over it and study it ourselves, so that it may become a part of us and lived in our lives. Father, I pray especially that you'll be with Brother Joel as our guest speaker tonight, that you will continue to give him the words from on high, touch his lips with a live coal from off the heavenly altar, that the words that come out will be the words that are inspired by thy Spirit, that we need for just such a time as this. Help him to be hid in Christ, that Christ will be revealed in all that he shares with us. And thank you so much for doing so. Please be with us now, and thank you, Father, again for being in control. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Well, we, as you've heard in the prayer, we have our guest speaker, Brother Joel, that's continuing with his subject that he began last Wednesday, and the title is Speak the Gospel in Humility, Sincerity, Faith, and Power. And for those that would like to follow along, the link is lightministries.com/SDA/ID1360.htm. So without any further delay, Brother Joel, please go ahead and take the mic.
Amen. God bless you all. Thank you, dear brother. Now, for those of you listening in and those of you who either this might be like the first time you're in the room listening, I'll go over a little bit of the few points that we had done, which was 1 through 3, and we'll be starting off on 4 today. And I really appreciated how Brother Rob helped me to understand the Beatitudes, how the name is just the to explain these really great blessings, just really abundant, royal, majestic blessings that the Lord Jesus was giving to the people in Matthew chapter 5, 1 through 20. And the Lord impressed that upon me to lead with that because it needed to be understood of the abundance of the blessings that the gospel is bringing to everyone who is hungering and thirsting for righteousness' sake, which we know in Christ Jesus. And those blessings went forth and touched so many hearts that were so excited, stirred deeply inside with so much hope, and we continue to move forward by God's grace to share that this is the hope that the lost around us today need to have stirring up inside of them. And we need to keep all of this quite simple, even as the Lord kept it simple with the common people of his day. He did not make it flowery speeches. He didn't come across with highfalutin words and things like that. He reached the people right where they were and spoke to them according to how he was able to reach them in their commonality, should I say, in social structure. He reached them. And we need to be able to reach them of our day the same way. Preaching the gospel today, in truth, has not changed. For our particular time frame, just as a quick point, our particular time frame, though it be 2013, it's called the everlasting gospel because it hasn't changed. And it's the simplicity of the gospel because it hasn't changed. We have to make sure that we keep it just like that. Heartfelt, humble, simple, rejoicing, and with such a crying out from our own hearts that have been delivered by the same blood of Jesus Christ, through that same love of Jesus Christ and God the Father working in the Holy Spirit, that has to come out of each and every one of us as we are touching lives every day for Jesus. It has to stay simple. So from there we move down to teaching simplicity in faith. And we spoke about how we need to keep it simple, servants, and touched on the need of us through not just, you know, being able to reach out and physically, it may call for you to physically hug someone who you do not know. And the Lord is telling you that person needs that and the word. But also, this hug and this kiss, this holy kiss, comes from the Holy Spirit and it comes from the Word of God. So we need to understand that too. And the poor, and when I say poor, I don't mean poverty poor, though we have plenty of that nowadays, but I mean poor in spirit. And those who are really, you know, there's so many hearts, millions and millions of hearts that are destitute and poor in spirit. They're really, amen, humble. And they're hungry for Christ. We need to reach them, but we have to keep it as simple as possible, so that we can reach them. Then we touched on carrying the gospel to the poor and bringing that bread of life, which is Christ Jesus, so that they can be fed. The poor, we need to reach them also in their daily needs too, because the gospel wasn't always about. As a matter of fact, as we look at the life of Christ, he met the needs of the people, not just in the Word of God, but in the healing of the sick, in the feeding of the hungry. He met them where they needed it most, because if you're trying to give the gospel to someone who's hungry, I can tell you this right now. The only thing he's going to be thinking about is food. But if you're giving the word of Christ and you know that you have something that you can feed that person, you know that they're hungry, give them the food and then give them the bread of life. Not only will they enjoy the meal, they're also going to get a heavenly meal at the same time, and they'll be more receptive. So these are the basic needs, and a coat, and a pair of shoes, and a mother that might have two children and one pair of pants is raggedy and you know that she can't afford any. Brothers and sisters, this is how we step in mercy and humility. We bring Jesus in all these different ways. We feed, we clothe, we nurture. This is bringing the gospel in a very living way and in a very simple way. We have to reach them right where they are. So, without further delay, I'm going to go into the next point, and the next point is reach out to everyone, and that's point number four. And the little note that I have by here, even the worldly rich and seemingly powerful need Jesus. We need to remember that the Lord is no respecter of persons. As we look upon the world landscape today, and we see these pockets of very wealthy here and there, or those who are, whether they believe that they're celebrities or whether they are actually celebrating or celebratory or whatever their realm that they believe that they exist in all unto themselves, being gods unto themselves, Jesus loves them. Not every one of us is going to have an opportunity to get into the mayor's office to speak to the mayor or speak to the governor or talk to the president or talk to whoever the biggest fad or new idol, so-called worldly idol, is. Not everyone is going to be given that opportunity to bring Jesus to them. However, As the children of the living God, we are to make ourselves ready and available to do so at a moment's notice. Because you really don't know. We really have no idea who may overhear you talking and sharing Christ and the spirit of prophecy and the end time situation that we're going through right now. You really do not know who overhears this and wants someone else who is in another position of greater authority, of greater influence within your community that wants to hear that. And they may get you right in there. We have to know that these people, we have to believe in our heart and truly understand that that gospel is just as much for them as it is for that poor soul who's sitting under a bridge, huddled around a little bitty fire, eating his cold bread or maybe can of beans or whatever it is. Maybe he was blessed and he got himself a little meal. It's just as important. Jesus died for that one and died for the one in the president's office. It's as simple as that. So that's why I wanted to, but I'm going to get into the reading at this point right now. Take the books to businessmen, to teachers of the gospel, whose minds have not been called to the special truths for this time. The message is to be given in the highways to men who take an active part in the world's work, to the teachers and leaders of the people. Thousands can be reached in the most simple, humble way. The most intellectual, those who are looked upon as the world's most gifted men and women, are often refreshed by the simple words of one who loves God and who can speak of that love as naturally as the worldling speaks of the things that interest him most deeply. Often the words well prepared and studied have but little influence, but the true, honest expression of a son or daughter of God spoken in natural simplicity has power to open the door to hearts that have long been closed against Christ and his love. Let no one think that he is at liberty to fold his hands and do nothing. That anyone can be saved in indolence and inactivity is an utter impossibility. Think of what Christ accomplished during his earthly ministry. How earnest, how untiring were his efforts. He allowed nothing to turn him aside from the work given him. Are we following in his footsteps? He gave up all to carry out God's plan of mercy for the fallen race. In the fulfillment of the purpose of heaven, he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He had had no communion with sin, had known nothing of it, but he came to this world and took upon his sinless soul the guilt of sinful man, that sinners might stand justified before God. He grappled with temptation, overcoming in our behalf. The Son of God, pure and unsullied, bore the penalty of transgression and received the stroke of death that brought deliverance to the race. We have to understand, that's from Cole Porter, Evangelist, page 37 to 38. Wherever we are, in whatever position that we're in, we need to bring the word even right in there. There are some who are teachers, there are some who are lawyers, there are some who are doctors, there are some who are crossing guards. There are some who are laymen and laborers out in construction yards. There are some who are electricians. There are some who are, whatever the case may be, we need to bring that word to them from even where we are, but we cannot think that because so-and-so is the president or the CEO of this particular area and drives around in the most expensive car and lives in a $2.3 million mansion, that we cannot approach such a one as that person. It is such a one as that person that we need to pray all the more for, and we need to ask God to give us words filling our mouths and the Holy Spirit swelling our heart so that we have courage to go up to that person and share Christ in the humility and meekness and joy in our hearts that he has filled our hearts with. We have to reach them. What comes to my mind even at this moment is what the Lord God Jesus Christ said, even when he walked the face of the earth, regarding the rich. And it was a proverb of that time. It is easier for a camel to get through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into heaven. They are so caught up with the things of the world and the gaining of more and their positions and their powers, they have so many fetters and weights of destruction wrapping them up that is really bound to the love of money. It is not money, it is the love of it that destroys the soul. And we need to be able to reach those people. We have to be able to reach the one who is the most fashionista out there, because that's the one that's worshiping themselves so much so that they cannot get out at any time unless they're going to the coolest party, wearing the greatest fashion, looking the best way they can. It's so popular around town. The bondage that they are into, it is so deep. But the word of God is living and is life. We do not serve a dead God. The Lord Jesus Christ said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. That means if we are speaking his word, we are going to speak with the power of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to resurrect that dead life inside there. We're going to bring life through Jesus Christ. We have to bring it. The world has so many different movies out there. And one of the biggest things I see in all these different ads and stuff like that is zombies. I have to bring this point because it relates so very well. What the world likes to put out there through all its movies is these zombie things. A long time ago, when there's Night of the Living Dead and things like that, some of you might know this, some of you might not, but it is relatable. Trust me on this one. Where the dead are in the ground and they come back up of no power of anyone, not God at all, but they just come walking up and they have no real brain whatsoever. They're moving around and destroying things. The relation in this matter is very clear. Without Jesus, we are the walking dead. For there is no life but in Christ Jesus. The movies have no one version of what that's all about. The scripture talks about another living dead. Let the dead bury the dead, the Lord said. Did he talk about zombies coming up out of the ground and they're going to go take the dead body and go bury it? No. Let the spiritually dead bury the physically dead. Let them take care of that. You come here and follow me. We have to really understand we're doing some life resuscitation work here for the Lord. We're bringing the bread of life. We're bringing the water of life. We're bringing the gospel of everlasting life. We're not bringing that to those who are alive. And I mean spiritually alive. We're bringing that to those who are spiritually dead. And they're in every single facet of life. And just as was said before, you don't have to know a whole lot of flowery words, and you don't have to speak corporatese, and you don't have to speak all these different things. Speak Jesus. Very simply, from the experience that he delivered you from, stir yourself up on the inside. Let the Holy Spirit truly bring you to the remembrance of that joy that you first had when you first met him. And when you're talking to Mr. CEO, or Ms. President of this, or Mr. So-and-so who thinks they're all that, when you're talking to them about Jesus and his love and how he delivered you and how he loves them so much, it will not matter what your education level is. Because they're going to see and they're going to definitely hear from what you're saying. You have been taught in the schools of Christ. And there is no school on this earth that can compare to that. Point number 5. Now this one is power and simplicity. And the little note that I have here is the shortest route from point A to point B is a straight line. And I'm going to go right into the reading on this first before I share a little something. A true educator will carry the minds of his hearers with him. His words will be few but earnest. Coming from the heart, they will be full of sympathy and warm with the love for precious souls. Amen. His educational advantages may have been limited, and he may have but little natural ability, but a love for the work and a willingness to labor in humility will enable him to awaken a deep interest in both teachers and scholars. The hearts of the young will be drawn to him. His work will not be a mere form. He may have the ability to draw out from both teachers and students precious gems of spiritual and intellectual truth. And thus, while educating others, he will be educated himself. The scholars are not awed by his display of profound knowledge. And in simple language, they tell what impression the lesson has made upon their minds. The result is a deep and living interest in the school. Through the simplicity of the gospel of Christ, he has reached them where they are. And this is what we must do. That's coming from Councils on Sabbath School Work, page 167, paragraph 2. What was deeply impressed upon my heart by the Lord in this particular area right here, it is still always, truthfully, the focus of keep delivering the gospel in its simplicity. However, I will tell you something very much true. I have been through many different, many different denominations before, but I never knew Jesus until I knew what sin was. I have to say it this way. Until I truly understood what sin was, I never knew who Jesus was. Now, when I went through all these different denominations, I heard about Jesus. We sang about Jesus, we clapped about Jesus, we hymned about Jesus, we studied about Jesus. But the true coming to an understanding of the depth, the gravity, and the seriousness of sin, that's what made me shake and say, how can I be saved then? Dear ones, I'm telling you right now. This mixture of simplicity must never forget this ingredient that must be there, or it's going to be a quite hollow victory for that gospel message for you to bring. While you're feeding some natural bread or putting on a pair of shoes and giving a hug and trying to share Jesus, you've got to be able to bring them from point A to point B. They've got to come to the cross. If in all the talking you never get them to the cross, how are they going to find salvation? If we don't bring them to Jesus, he's the only one that can save them, and the only thing that brings them to Jesus is knowing that they have sin. They are sinners. They are in need of salvation. They are lost. Love them, yes, but do not deprive them. And it really is a deprivation to their own destruction if we do not educate them very clearly and lovingly, yet firmly, that you're lost and you need a Savior. Now, what I have put down here in this little section down here that has these various different scripture quotes, I try to be as concise to give an example, though the Holy Spirit may guide you to use other different scriptures that will still get you from point A to point B. I use these few. My basis for these few right here has always been the Garden of Eden. It has always been where the fall began. Because everything is laid out right there in Genesis. Everything can be found in its simplest form right there in Genesis. And for most of the ones that are out here, that are lost, they don't even understand what sin is. That needs to be defined for them. They know, oh yeah, that makes me feel bad. Amen, dear sister, in the beginning. But you need to know that it's really sin. But what is sin? So let's take a walk through here real quick and take a look at some of these verses and see if it helps to get, you know, and like I said, the Holy Spirit may prepare you with certain verses that get you from point A to point B, that will get that poor one from point A to point B in, you know, a different way. And it all is going to depend on the situation that you're in. Everyone's all right? Because if we can ask questions later, that would be fine. Okay. All right. Praise God. Praise God. So, as we look at what is sin as the Bible defines it, 1 John chapter 3, verse 4 says, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." There you have it. A very clear, easy to understand definition from the scriptures as to what is sin. Sin is a transgression of the law. What is the law? Matthew 5, 17 through 19 states, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Fulfill doesn't mean destroy. Fulfill means to complete. Complete in its fullness, to magnify. "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law," again we're talking about the law, "till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments," now we have the law, commandments, "and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." I'm going to pop back for a moment because I think I need to touch on just this little bit right here. If anyone is teaching anyone to break even the least of one of God's commandments, though they are all very binding, all 10 of them, being called least in the kingdom of heaven does not mean you're going to make it. That means you're not there, because no lawbreaker will be in the kingdom of heaven. So being least in the kingdom of heaven for breaking the laws of God and teaching others to break them means you are not there. I just wanted to make that clear, and I think that there are many other scriptures we can get into at another time to show that, to prove that out. However, those who do teach others to obey the law of God, and they do so themselves, well, yes, of course, they will be considered great in the kingdom of heaven, because they're helping the Lord Jesus to magnify the law and make it honorable. So now we know, or at least a little clearer, it can be understood that if you transgress, the sin is a transgression of the law. The law is also something that the Lord Jesus talked about, and we're not to break it, and we're not to teach others to break it. He even calls it commandments. What commandments? Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 18 is the Decalogue, or the 10 words, or the 10 commandments. Those are the commandments being spoken of. And also in the New Testament, in James chapter 2, verses 8 through 12, we can see where it is confirmed that this is also talked about, though, however, throughout the New Testament, we also see that. Amen. The law of love and liberty. "If ye fulfill the royal law, according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. But if ye have respect of persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors." Okay, here we have it again, that if a person is committing sin, they're committing sin, they are transgressing the law. The same law that we were talked about in 1 John 3, 4, that they're transgressing, the same law that the Lord Jesus talked about, that if you break even the least of it and teach others to do so, then you're transgressing. "But whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. well, which law? What commandments? Is this really talking about the Ten Commandments? Is it really the ones that were given even in Eden? We're going to get there. Is that those? For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Well, there you go. Wait a minute, because I know that we know of this. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. So that must be talking about those. Now, if you commit no adultery, yet if you kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. Again and again and again, we see the point brought home. You're transgressing the law. Which law? The commandments of God, the law of God. So speak ye and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. So is the royal law and the law of liberty. It is not a curse. It is not a burden. It is not been nailed anywhere. It is not done away with. It is not kaput. It's not finished. It is very much necessary. It is a reflection of God's character. It has not gone anywhere. Amen. A mirror. Now, as people can use certain scriptures, like I said, the Holy Spirit may have you use various different scriptures. I'd like to give this just as a quick example because it just brings from one point to the next and helping a person understand this is what the Bible teaches. What does sin bring? Genesis 2, 16 to 17 states, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, wait, this is in Genesis. Genesis chapter 2? 16 to 17. Wow, that's like way early. That's the first book. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou shalt eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Well, there's a penalty for this type of disobedience, and that's death. But is it because some transgression was done? Is it because some law was broken? Let's see. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4 says, behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. And the soul that sinneth, it shall die. So, what we're seeing here is another jump-off point later on, if you're witnessing to that person, concerning the non-immortality of the soul. That's another subject, but it's easy to come off of from right there, and that can be discussed as the conversation may build. But we're seeing here that, wait a minute, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Sin is the transgression of the law. What law? The Ten Commandments. It's the royal law, and it is the law of liberty. But the gift of God, there is our hope. The same hope that was given to us, of all mankind, back in Genesis. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I thought it was very important that everyone has to have a point A to point B. Now, to tell you more clearly, for myself, how I normally walk a person there is actually from Genesis, using Adam and Eve's situation, because they like to say that the law of God wasn't until Mount Sinai. That's when it was. That's an easy out for them. But what they do not understand is that they paint themselves into a corner and now they have to listen. Because now they have to have an understanding from Scripture of, really? Well, where did death come from? Why do we have it? Oh, well, the Bible says that death is because of sin. Oh, well, then this is what sin is according to the Word of God. So did Adam and Eve sin? Because God says, in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. And the wages of sin is death. And most do know those verses. So did Adam and Eve sin? Well, no, they just disobeyed God. Wait a minute now. Now you're circular reasoning here. According to the Scripture, you do believe in the Word of God, and that might open up a whole different way of having to talk with them. If you ask that question, you do believe the Word of God, right? They may say no. Then you at least have an idea of how to help them understand that they need to. So that's why it's important to know which way to go from point A to point B. You want the shortest route because you want them to have an understanding of, hey, and the most loving and the most humble and, of course, the simplest route. But what I have found very, very striking, and the Lord helped me with this, and I praise His holy name for that, is He brought me right there and said, take them to Adam and Eve. Bring them right there. Bring the law right there. Because they keep on saying that the law didn't exist then, when they died because of transgressing the law. Once they can start to see that they died from transgressing the law, planting all the other ones, I have found, when I talk to different people and I have a chance by God's grace to witness to them in this particular way, bringing them into understanding about God's holy law and the grace of Jesus Christ and how they need to repent and obey these things, and one step after another, then it's up between them and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is working. Then they have to choose to obey. And we all have to choose to obey. Everyone in the world is going to have to choose to either obey or disobey. Serve the Lord, serve the devil. But we have to bring it to them in love. And we have to keep it simple. We have to stay humble. Ever before the Lord, seeking His face, what shall I feed whoever I'm going to meet today? But we can't feed them, and I have to tell you this too, and I praise the living God because He's been working on me in these areas too. We can't feed them if we're not getting fed. If we're not in our prayer time and we're not in our study time, how are we going to go out there and feed them too? Because I don't really want to live on yesterday's bread if I know that my Father can prepare a fresh meal for me every day. So why would I want to go ahead and live on leftovers? Get the fresh food. And that's what we need to have every day because you don't know who you're going to meet for that day. So praise God. So I mean, like, as I said, dear brothers and sisters, and those listening, if you have a way that the Holy Spirit, you know, is using you to get you from point A to point B, I guess that what I'm trying to explain or try to share is that it's important for each and every individual one of us, through the Holy Spirit, as we've been in our study, we have to be in study, come up with a point A to point B. Come up with individual scenarios that you might have gone through, you might even be through, you might have done before, or you might have overheard someone either on the bus, on a train, at a rest stop, doesn't matter, talking about things of God and they don't have the answers. Come up with those answers because it's in the Word of God. We need to have those answers. As we're traveling around in our daily life, our ears need to be open for the Word of God, for the Lord, I mean, but we also need to be listening to those who are living around us, because that's who we're supposed to be reaching. So as they're talking, whether to us directly, or we're hearing on the side, what are they up to in their daily life with their people around them and their blah, 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 blah. The Lord is going to let you see. And you'll have an answer. Because He's going to pull it out of the whole repertoire of your study habits. But if we have no folder in our heart where we keep our study habits, grace abounds. This is true. And the Lord desires that none should perish, so He will definitely use whatever means He can that is righteous and holy and good, and meaning if you only remember, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, if you only remember that, He will use that from you. But oh, how much more He would use you if you'd spend some time in prayer and study. There will be a whole lot much more to use you. You're more versatile. You become like the Swiss Army knife of gospel preaching. You're available for every little situation. And that's what the Lord needs. And especially in the times that we're in right now. Everyone's okay? I hope I didn't miss anything that people were putting in there, hopefully. Because I can't watch and do all that. So, forgive me. So we'll have some time. We'll share. I'm going to go to number 6 and see how far we get for that, dear brothers and sisters. Simplicity in speech. Simple speech. Clarity of expression. The Lord wishes you to learn how to use the gospel net. Many need to learn this art. In order for you to be successful in your work, the meshes of your net, meaning the application of the scriptures, must be close and the meaning easily discerned. If I go ahead and I memorize the entire New Testament, I have it memorized. In truth, without the Holy Spirit, that's all I've got is a bunch of information tucked inside my head. If I am puffed up with how much I have inside my head, my net isn't going to catch a whole lot. It's just not. I'm going to be throwing out a whole bunch of stuff to a whole bunch of people, and I'm not going to catch a whole lot of anything. But I'm going to feel good about how much I threw my net out. But is it the Lord's net? This is very important. We need to understand this. Gaining lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of information without a humble heart, a loving heart, a heart that's broken and contrite before the Lord God Jesus Christ, having the whole of all the spirit of prophecy photographically memorized inside one's mind, and the Word of God, the Old Testament, the New Testament, shoved inside the recesses of your brain, having all that and having no love, no compassion, no mercy, you have nothing. You're going to catch a whole lot of unclean fish. That's what you're going to catch. The unclean fish are not coming into the kingdom. We need to have an understanding. There are clean and there's unclean. It's very, very important that this is understood, because it really is that broken heart. It really is that tender, childlike heart. That heart that really, oh my lands, is really yielding before the Lord. Really sees itself as God sees her or her. Is willing to really put their heart on the altar and say, Holy Spirit, search me out. Amen. Dear sister, it's spoon feeding, not drowning the person. Amen. Because it is the Lord Jesus Christ that has to work through us, not us. Amen. We have to allow the Lord to do the work, and we have to not take all this information. And it's wonderful to learn. I'm not putting any learning down. If the Lord has given you a beautiful brain like that where you can just memorize so much stuff, that is wonderful. It can be a beautiful, holy gift. It can be. But once the flesh is in it, it's not. It's corrupted. And no corrupt thing can come into the presence of God. And the Holy Spirit cannot come into a corrupt situation. It cannot happen. So as long as flesh is there, all the information that one may have, it's almost for nothing. I praise God that when there are those that do have that information, I praise God when they're sharing it, okay, praise God, because the Lord will use what He can on the hearts that are ready to receive it. But if they're out there doing it on their own, they're just going to cause more trouble. So we have to make ourselves, please, very, very much with understanding before the Lord. Then make the most of drawing in the net, come right to the point of continuing again. Make your illustrations self-evident. However great a man's knowledge, it is of no avail unless he is able to communicate it to others. Let the pathos of your voice, its deep feeling, make its impression on hearts. Urge your students to surrender themselves to God. Very important. It is a pleading that we're supposed to do. We're supposed to go out to the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. Not with our fists, not with rakes, not with bats, no. But with pleading to them with the Word of God, through the love that we have of God in our hearts working through us, we are to plead with them, why would you die? Why? Do you see how the Lord loves you so dearly and so much? We need to express that to Him, to them. Make your explanations clear, for I know that there are many who do not understand many of the things said to them. Let the Holy Spirit mold and fashion your speech, cleansing it from all dross. Speak as to little children, remembering that there are many well advanced in years who are but little children in understanding. And this needs to be, you know, understood too. Yes, we're at number 6, simplicity in speech. We are to respect our biological elders, so to speak. I have to say it like this, in reference to this. They may be 20 years older than us, 30 years older than us. They have the gray hair going on. I mean, they have seen lots of things go on in this world, and they have their own set of wisdom that they have gleaned through the experiences that the Lord God has allowed them to survive through. However, when it comes to understanding holy and godly things, they are but little children. They do not understand these things. And they need to be spoken to as little children. We're not to be respecter of persons when it comes down to these things, but we're to be loving and kind and respectful, but breaking it down to them as if though they have never understood this in their life before. Amen. Amen. This is true, dear Sister Joan. Amen. By earnest prayer, continuing, by earnest prayer and diligent effort, we are to obtain a fitness for speaking. This fitness includes uttering every syllable clearly, placing the force and emphasis where it belongs. Speak slowly. Many speak rapidly, hurrying one word after another so fast that the effect of what they say is lost. Into what you say, put the spirit and life of Christ. To those who hear, the gospel is made the power of God unto salvation. Present the gospel in its simplicity. That's Counsels to Teachers, pages 235 to 255, 1913, and Evangelism, page 174 to 175. I'm going to continue to read this group, and then I'll touch on it. Simplicity in words. Never search for words that will give the impression that you are learned. The greater your simplicity, the better will your words be understood. Testimonies, volumes 6, page 383, 1900, and Evangelism, page 482, paragraph 1. Simple explanation better than argument. You know what? Before I go further, I'll just touch back on this that we just read, and I'll then read that last piece. We all have our certain way of prayer time, and I know I could spend more time in prayer. You know, I have to speak to myself first. I could spend more time in prayer. And the really odd thing about it, and I'll tell you, I know it's a wrestling in flesh, too, because when I'm in prayer time, it's really beautiful. So, and when I'm sharing with the Lord and presenting different requests and talking about different things that, you know, I would like help with, and this person needs this and that person needs that, I have a beautiful time. So you would think, that being said, I would probably be in prayer as often as I possibly could. Ergo, this wrestling with this dead body thing I have to keep dragging around. So, our prayer is very important, especially even before we get out there. And we go out of our, well, when we get up, we know we have our prayer time, come before our Lord, and thank Him for the beautiful rest that we've had. And even if it was like a restless rest, we are still here. And by His mercy and grace, we are still here for a reason. And there's work to be done in our hearts. And there's more preparing for the kingdom that we must do. And there's work that He wants us to do. So, we're here for a reason. Or we wouldn't wake up. So we need to have an understanding of that too. But when we walk out of our front doors and we're going out into the midst of all the madness that is out there, we really need to be prayed up. I praise God that when I was out visiting out in Ohio, and also when I visit dear brethren over this way too, before taking off inside the cars or anything like that, it's a word of prayer. And it's really important. And I feel refreshed after that because the Lord is protecting and then also prepares us too. I believe, at least this is how I meditate on that thought, for who we're going to meet along the way. How are we going to handle every situation? We're asking the Lord, please come in and not just protect us in the car. In my deep recess of my heart, I'm praying not just for the protection of us, but those around us that are driving by us. And then when we get there, what is to be known? How do we deal with it? Who will we witness to? Who knows? Make me ready. And I think that that's how, you know, all of us probably kind of, you know, tend to, maybe I'm being a little bit too presumptuous. I pray I'm not. But I believe we tend to, when we take off like that, traveling mercies. There you go. And we kind of like to top it off with witnessing mercies too, because the enemy is out there and is going to be throwing all kinds and shooting all kinds of darts at anyone that's going to start to talk of Jesus. And especially if you're talking to those who are in prison and they're in at that point that you're talking to them in the enemy's camp and you're there in the name of Jesus Christ to deliver them from their captive. So we need to make sure that as we get out and about, we stay prayed up. We really need to be prayed up a lot. A lot is changing very rapidly worldwide right now. A lot of things are unfolding, and we really need to understand the gravity of all of this. Now I'll go into the last little paragraph here. Simple explanation better than argument. Argument is good in its place, but far more can be accomplished by simple explanations of the Word of God. The lessons of Christ were illustrated so clearly that the most ignorant could readily comprehend them. Jesus did not use long and difficult words in his discourses. Amen, he really didn't. He used plain language, adapted to the minds of the common people. He went no farther into the subject he was expounding than they were able to follow him. Gospel Workers, page 169, 1915, and Evangelism, page 482.2. I'm going to end in this particular paragraph right here so we have some time to share, because it just seems like... there's a lot of sharing that wants to be done inside, and I thank the living God for touching so many hearts with this, because it really has touched mine. When I allow the Lord to bring to my memory the work of the Lord as he walked the earth, and the disciples, then apostles, as they were about doing God's work, placing an argument rightly placed is wonderful. But more times than not, it was such beautiful, simple-worded ministering, individually or in group, with such words that even the least educated in the group could understand it as well as the most senior educated in the group. It was easily done. This is where we really have to understand the abundance of knowledge can puff someone up. I have to say that. It's easy to feel very important and feel that a person can be in a position of knowing so much and miss giving what's exactly necessary to the group or person that you're speaking to because you know so much. Oh, I know about that. And I know about this, and I've read this, and I've read that, and I've been to here, and I've been to there, and did you know that I studied underneath so-and-so and so-and-so? Oh, yeah. Yeah, let me tell you a few things. It does not take long to make an opportunity of delivering a lost soul in the name of Jesus Christ from out of the dark place that they were in of sin into the marvelous light of Christ. It doesn't take long to go from being in that position to being in self-glorification if one is too puffed up because their whole focus is on what they want to say. They want to say instead of what needs to be said. It doesn't take long. this flesh, there is nothing good in it. We have to have an understanding of that. There's nothing good in this flesh. We need to understand it. Yes, we must use our bodies and we have to go and do things and stuff like that for the Lord and even go shop and get our foods and things like that. But as far as what is good, as in God, as in good as God, no, this flesh, no. We have to be in the Spirit. We have to always be walking in the Holy Spirit, always. And that's a training ground right in itself. Amen. Amen. That's what, amen, dear brother. Our hearts are desperately wicked. Who can know? Who can understand it? But if we walk in the Spirit, we will not desire and we fulfill the lust of the flesh. We will not. And when we're out there witnessing and keeping it simple, being a child before the Lord, we will be able to reach those with childlike faith. They will hear the love of Jesus Christ in our heart in a way that they have never heard. It will melt their hearts. It will break up their stony ground. They will be pierced through so quickly. The gospel is simple. It really is. It is we who make it complicated. So we have to keep it very simple and put our self flesh aside. Self has to be nowhere around. When the gospel is being shared, self cannot be there. It can't. Only Jesus should be there reaching that soul. We are but vessels. We are to yield ourselves humbly, willingly, lovingly to the Lord Jesus to be used to go and be fishers of men. That's it. That's it. So I'm going to stop right there because I'm looking at the time here, and as much as I would love to continue on, I'm going to stop right here by God's grace, and we are at the end of point number 6, and we really only have a couple more to go, but I praise the living God for giving us a chance to really have time on this particular little topic, and I thank Him for allowing me to share this little study. It's a blessing. It really has been a blessing, dear brothers and sisters. And those on the phone, thank you so much for keeping me in prayer while I've been talking. Because it's been a very nervousing thing. So, I guess I should close in prayer now and then we can, then everyone can share what's on their heart. Okay. All right. Praise God. Then, wherever you can kneel comfortably, or bow your hearts, and we'll go ahead and have a closing prayer. Dear and gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for allowing us all to gather together, both here in the room and on the phone lines right now. It has been a real rejoicing to have time to go over these beautiful truths that you have laid out in your word in the spirit of prophecy, and I thank you, dear Father, and I thank you, Lord Jesus, for allowing me to even be used to bring any of these truths, because I feel very far from worthy to do so, but I'm very thankful, and I pray that we all will retain, even as our dear brother said, and prayed before, that we retain what we have heard and been stirred up in our hearts about concerning getting out there and winning souls for you, Lord, and keeping it simple, and never, ever, ever forgetting, dear Lord Jesus, let us never forget our first love, how much our hearts were lit aflame in love for you from the very first moment. Please let us never forget that. Let us always keep that fresh in our hearts. Please, Holy Spirit, when we wake up each morning, stir us anew. Let it be fresh all over again every morning. We pray you'll bless our brothers and sisters in the room here and on the phone. Keep them safe throughout the rest of the night. Let them get a good rest as they are moving through their day tomorrow. Please abundantly bless them as they move on through the rest of the week up into Sabbath, which is coming soon, Lord. Help us to all be prepared for that in our hearts. Thanking you always for your mercy and for your grace. In Jesus' name we thank you so much. Amen. Okay. Praise God. I'm going to go ahead and those of you who have some things that I'm sure you may want to share on things that you might be on your heart, then I'm going to go ahead and let you all do that.
Amen. I love to study and went in the first stage. There was something that I want to say concerning the last point. You said so many different points. And, I wanted to share, but the last one that you were talking about how to give the gospel, and it shouldn't be done in an argumentative way. It reminded me of the story of Elijah when he was fleeing from Jezebel, and he was leaving, and the angels of the Lord woke him up and fed him bread. And they say, Elijah, get up and eat, for the journey is too great for you. So when he went and he got to where he was supposed to meet the Lord, there was the earthquake, but God's voice was not in the earthquake. There was a huge fire, but God's voice was not in the fire. But then afterwards, there was a gentle voice where the Lord was talking to Elijah. And he said, Elijah, Elijah. God came to him. His voice was very gentle. And it's just a still, soft voice. And that is how we are to give the gospel. Because it says Christ came to Elijah in that way. That is how we're supposed to give the gospel to others. Another point I wanted to say was that in giving the gospel, you know, like when you're first learning to share the word of God, it's like you study and you read and you read and you want to share. And it's like you feel like, I have something to share, something to give you. But it takes patience. And you have to wait for the Holy Spirit. Because I remember while I was younger and being 17 and everything, my sister used to say, Keisha, you have to give it to them little by little. You can't just stuff it like in their mouth. It's like you're trying to feed a baby and you're giving them all this. You're just shoving the meat in their mouth and you're supposed to... You have to give them milk first. You have to go slower. And then the thing is that it's with everything, as you practice and you continue practicing, you know, you may not win the souls at first, but you still continue to share. And as you continue more and more, the Lord allows it, you know, the Lord teaches you along the way. Now that, you know, I'm older, you know, I realized through a lot of the reading, I would first say, you know, can we pray? And first I would pray and ask the Holy Spirit to forgive us for our sins, because sins separate us from God. And then after I ask God to forgive us for our sins, I would ask for the Holy Spirit to give us the understanding of the reading. And this is why it is to do, because I realize it's not me that's giving the message. But when it's time to give the gospel, I don't want to be seen. I want Keisha to be hidden in Christ. And I want the Holy Spirit to speak. But I'm just letting him use me to tell, to give the word. So any time when we give the gospel, you know, you never say, oh, you know, Keisha gave the gospel, or Keisha did this, or no. You say, you ask, Lord, please, move my mouth, show me what to say. I don't know what to say. This is all the time praying in my heart. Whenever giving the gospel is something like I want to share, but I let you put the words in my mouth so I can know what to share and when to share. And then I see when you take the back seat and let the Holy Spirit drive, it comes good. It goes well because He is in control. So that is what I wanted to share. And I want to say again, amen for the study.
Amen. And I just to bring a point on that too, Keisha, because when I was very young also, and I did not really know, I was coming through a lot of different things concerning different spiritual kind of beliefs. So I'll put it like that. And then when someone reached me in a high school, I think it was high school at that time, with the gospel according to how, you know, they understood how to give it, even back then, and I wanted to share so much of this joy I was feeling, I was very, very excited and anxious to do the same thing. So I do understand what you're talking about concerning having to really be patient and take one's time. It backfired on me when I did that, going too fast.
I forgot one more thing I wanted to share. When I was growing up, I used to see my mom and my dad. They used to always give to people who didn't have. And I remember as a little girl, I was 8 years old. Oh, good night, Sister Jo. I remember when I was a little girl, that there was this homeless man and his name was Paul. And my parents invited him into the house and my mom fed him food. And my dad gave him his shoes to wear. And I remember all of this. And they were given the gospel as well, all together. And this is the things that you pointed out during the study tonight. You just brought back to my memory my childhood of what I saw my parents doing.
Amen. And that's true. Brother Joe brought it up earlier. Someone that is hungry, you have to feed them before their mind would be able to comprehend what you're saying about the gospel. And those that are needy, you have to try and relieve their neediness. You have to try and reach out to them. And then they'll be willing to receive what you're saying about the gospel. And you know, 1 Corinthians 13 brings up the idea that we must show love. We must have love for the people. And love is revealed not just in words, but in actions. So we can have all of the knowledge of the Bible in our minds, as Brother Joel was mentioning before at this point. But if we don't have love when we share it with others, our words are going to be like a clanking cymbal. They're not going to be received. It's going to be something foreign because they understand that we really don't love them. And so what we're trying to share with them doesn't have the same effect that it would if you would reveal love, if you would help to relieve their necessities and then share the gospel. That way they could see that you do indeed love them, because who's going to go out and sacrifice their goods to help someone else unless they really care for that person? And once they see that you care for them, then their hearts are open to receive the words of life that you will share with them. So without love, all our knowledge is wasted. It's not going to have the effect that it should have. But if we do have love, just as Christ showed love to the people he was witnessing to and helping, then it will have effect. And amen, Sister Keisha, what you were saying about allow the Holy Spirit to take control of what you're sharing to the people. Because we could bring forth to them the words of life, but without the Spirit taking those words and driving it into their heart, it's going to be a wasted effort. It has to be the Spirit that pricks their hearts, that takes the truths that you share and breaks through the barriers surrounding the hearts of your listeners. And then the truths will have a ready access to the good soil of their hearts and not be planted in that stony ground that's just going to wither and die. So, excellent points, dear ones, and praise God, Brother Joel, for speaking through you and bringing up these words of good import, especially in today's world. So praise the Lord.
Amen. I just wanted to say one little point to what you were saying, Brother Bob, that when the Bible was saying that we are not supposed to be puffed up and full of leaven. What happened is that when we're puffed up, it's harder for the truth to get through. And the Holy Spirit is not there to give the gospel. So rather than us allowing the Holy Spirit to give the gospel, that bread that is being given is filled with leaven. And the person cannot digest it. But when we let the Holy Spirit give the gospel, it is unleavened bread, and it is just the way how it's supposed to be delivered, a true and solemn message, you know, without the puff-upness, without the self-righteousness mixed into it, you know. But the thing is that the leaven that is in the bread, what causes it to rise is the yeast, and the yeast is a fungus. And once it's feeding off of sugar, it causes it to rise and rise and puff up so big. So there's no more room in the bowl as you're making the bread, you know, as you're allowing it to rise. So just as we shouldn't be puff up, because there will be no room for the Holy Spirit to come in so he can be able to teach. So I hope I didn't confuse you by, like, jumping, you know, to, I was trying my best to quickly get to the point. But that is what, you know, is very important in giving the gospel. Because you don't know when you have another chance to speak to that person. And that one chance you have to speak to them is maybe the only chance you have. You don't know if you can see them tomorrow. Tomorrow is in promise. So that is why it is very important, if you have the opportunity right there, to let the Holy Spirit be the one to speak. Put him in the seat. That is what I wanted to say.
Well, thank you, dear sister. Are there any more questions or comments that you would like to give or to ask Brother Joel? Before we close for this evening, please go right ahead. Well, dear ones, I want to thank you all for coming out this evening and making our midweek church service a joy and a success. And praise God for the uplifting message that was given. And I pray that we will study it for ourselves and allow it to become part of us so that we will not lose the words of truth that were shared, but that we will comprehend, that we will understand, and that we will put them into practice and indeed be able to give the gospel in simplicity with love in our heart, allowing the Holy Spirit to reach the hearts of the people that we're trying to bring to Christ, so that all of our efforts will bring forth fruit to the glory of God and will not be wasted time. So, dear ones, may God go with you now as we part just for a few days, and May God continue to bless you, to lead and guide you, and to bring you back in fellowship and worshiping of our God in spirit and truth on this soon coming Sabbath.